Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with the new reality. The new reality of not having a president that I have to worry is going to nuke a hurricane or going to fudge a map of where a hurricane went or telling me to drink bleach. I'm still trying to come down from that. And look, I'm looking forward to it in the worst way. In fact, I'm looking forward to not saying the name of the president for days at a time, because someone functional is actually doing it. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, the last 4 years. She was here 4 years ago to say how bad it was going to be. I'm curious if she's going to agree with me that it was even worse than I thought it was going to be. That's why I've asked our good friend Sarah Kendzior to come back with and talk with us, writer, scholar, co-host of Gaslit Nation. Her best-selling books are The View from Flyover Country and Hiding in Plain Sight. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So let's start right at the very beginning. You were on 4 years ago. You painted a picture that was very dark, and, well, I would say 99.9999% accurate.
Yes, unfortunately. It's unfortunate for us all that that's the case, but it has concluded, so that is a good thing.
We made it through. Was it as bad as you thought it was going to be? Because you painted a really dark picture. Was this as bad as you thought it was going to be? Was it worse? Where would you put it?
It was exactly what I thought it was going to be. There was an essay I wrote for The Correspondent called "We're Heading Into Dark Times." I think it came out on November 18th, 2016. You could read that and just see the whole thing laid out. Read my articles about Trump and Russia and the mafia, see that laid out. The one thing, of course, I didn't anticipate was the pandemic, which made everything like a million times worse and accelerated a lot of their worst agendas, led to a massive death toll. We're still obviously dealing with that now and are going to be dealing with it for the foreseeable future. That wasn't exactly on my radar. If somebody had presented to me, how do you think Trump would handle a pandemic? You know, this is what I would have predicted, but it's been really rough. People should never forget this. They should never underestimate this, and they should never make the mistake that this can't happen again. You know, now's the time to put in safeguards, to turn norms into laws, to strengthen our laws, to bring back laws that were destroyed, like the Voting Rights Act, for example, and to get realistic about how we protect our democracy, because it was slacking off in that respect that helped contribute to the situation to begin with.
Now, Trump did say today that he's going to be back, and all of that stuff. So we're, you know, the woods aren't clear as of yet, I want to get into that theory of, you know, the thought of, you know, how's history going to look back on this? But to be honest, we're still living those days that we're still in the middle of trouble on a certain level, aren't we?
We're in a lot of trouble with, you know, many things: the pandemic, a Great Depression economy, the worst cyber attack on the U.S. in its history, gutted departments that Joe Biden and his team are going to have to rebuild, gutted relationships abroad, white domestic terrorism, you know, domestic, like violent actors, white supremacist movements, militant movements. There's a lot going on. And then, of course, the corruption that underlaid everything. You know, the fact that we were a mafia state for 4 years, but the buildup to that went back at least 40 years. And it was due to people not facing consequences for their actions, for criminal actors not held accountable because they were so polished, they were so wealthy, they were so respectable. You know, whether it was Paul Manafort or Jeffrey Epstein or Trump himself, like that is the commonality. And so I think people have finally figured out that if you don't enforce consequences on these bad actors, they come back and haunt you. And they often just re-enter rotating Republican administrations the way Bill Barr did. And then they clean up crimes for other people. So that's something that we have to deal with. I think the Capitol attack 2 weeks ago made this real for like the stragglers of delusion, like the people who are still hanging on to it's not that bad, it can't get catastrophic, there are checks and balances. Like there are maybe like a few people still thinking that, and unfortunately they were in Congress. And I hate that this is the way that they were woken up. Like I absolutely, you know, of course do not, I wish this never happened. It's traumatic and it's horrifying and it was very dangerous and people did die and our representatives nearly died. I think, though, that they realize, yes, of course, these malicious actors, this Kremlin asset backed up by transnational organized crime, these white supremacist groups, these cultists, they will 100% take it that far. They are anti-American actors. And so we need to safeguard against them for everyone else in this country who's just struggling to survive and live their life. And nobody deserved what we had over the last 4 years. Nobody, even the people who voted for Trump, I don't think they deserve this. I don't think anyone deserves a pandemic to be managed in that way. I don't think anyone deserves this horrific level of violence and cruelty and sadism from that administration. So I hope that this never happens again, but for that to happen, you know, to be possible, we need to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Right. And you brought up the word, the accountability word. So, you know, are you one of the folks who are saying we definitely need to go forward and the Senate needs to convict Trump and impeach him and throw him out, well, completely out of office since he's out of office? Is this an errand that we have to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an errand, it's an obligation. He's guilty of the crime. He's guilty of a ton of other crimes that they didn't bother to impeach him for, but they did impeach him for this one. And what's important is that he's never able to run again. He's never able to access power again. And then the investigations need to extend into his administration for their crimes, for abuses at the border, abuse of the pardon power, the abuse of the emoluments clause, to his family, to Ivanka and Don Jr. and especially Jared Kushner and the crimes they committed in office, their criminal history, their broad network, their ties with the Kremlin, their ties with the Russian mafia, people that were pardoned who were criminals like Steve Bannon, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, Michael Flynn. I mean, basically like everyone who worked on his campaign at a high level got arrested for a very serious crime, often something like conspiracy against the United States. That's what Manafort was indicted for. It's very awful to have those people back active running around. They're not just gonna like chill out on their yachts or whatever. Like they're gonna come back for revenge. That's what they always do. That's what they've been doing over and over for 40 years. So there needs to be a commission and a giant investigation. We were promised one with the Mueller probe. It was, you know, BS. It was a load of crap. Like Mueller didn't indict, he didn't interview, he wasn't thorough. He still, even though he was being lazy and selective, managed to find a ton of crimes because Trump is a crime machine. It's really hard to like not find crimes when you're looking at Trump. And so, you know, there's still stuff there. Obstruction of justice, for example, that's in the Mueller probe. That should be brought back. I mean, the American people need to know why this happened. It wasn't just that Trump is like a jackass. It's so much worse than that. It is a level of criminal complicity that goes back decades and is so sordid and vile. So it all needs to be aired out in public. And I also think, I mentioned this to you before, I think that this will help diffuse QAnon, which we now have seen the lengths to which some members of QAnon will go when they participated in the Capitol attack. And a lot of that is because they felt that conspiracy theories they believed in must be true because other ones they believed in, like Jeffrey Epstein, turned out to really be true. And the media really did cover it up and officials really did let them get away with it. They were completely right about that. But that made them believe in all sorts of, you know, nonsensical and horrific and offensive stuff. And so I think the best way to kind of bring someone off the ledge is be like, yeah, you know, you're right to feel paranoid. You're right to feel the government is corrupt. Here are some other corrupt things they did. Here's why they did it. And here are why some of these other things you believe in, like we don't see the evidence for that. Like, what is your evidence for that? I think that's the way to go, not mockery. Because the thing is people, now there are all these groups preying on those people. There are really serious white supremacist groups, white militant groups that are reaching out to the disillusioned Trump voters and trying to pull them into an apparatus more powerful, one that could have had a very violent and successful Capitol attack. There are still folks out there gearing up for that, and this is their prey. So I think, you know, ideally we should try to prevent that obviously from happening.
Yeah, I struggle not mocking them, to be honest with you.
Jr. back from the dead and whatnot is like, God.
Some of it is so far-fetched and so ridiculous. You go, how is it possible? But my fear is we're in this moment where there's all this talk of unity, that we do what we've always done in this country. The past administrations in the past, let sleeping dogs lie. You know, we did it with Reagan. We did it with Bush. You know, we've done it with a whole bunch. We did, you know, even with Clinton, we did, you know, just let it go. And that's been our history. I think now is different. I think now has got to be that stopping point where if you've done something wrong, I don't care how high in the government you are, how powerful you are. You've got to pay the same consequences that a dump truck driver would have to pay.
Yes. I mean, that's how it always should have been. And now we see the consequences of not enforcing that. And I think, you know, finally, fellow elites and high level actors and prominent politicians, they also see the consequences of not fighting back, not having standards, you know, allowing elite criminal impunity to thrive. Biden's speech, I thought, was pretty good. I felt like he brought up a lot of issues that traditionally are not brought up in speeches. And, you know, he seemed to be pushing for, like, we need to do, digging into systemic problems, you know, not these sort of superficial issues, not superficial unity. It's hard for me to sort of figure out, well, how exactly is he using that word? And in the end, it doesn't matter. What matters is his actions in the weeks to come, the months to come, the actions of his administration. But everyone should be pressuring them for truth and accountability and rigorous investigations of a multitude of crimes committed by the past administration so that we can make sure no one else is able to use those tactics and that people aren't able to reinsert themselves into new administrations. I mean, some of these guys are really old. Like, my kids refer to my book, Hiding in Plain Sight, as mommy's book about criminal boomers, but it's not just criminal boomers. It's also Jared Kushner, Stephen Miller, you know, a lot of folks on the younger side who may be around for like 40 years. You know, that's what Manafort and Stone were back in the early 80s. Look what they've done over their 40-year career. We need to make sure that they cannot do that over the next 40 years, or we won't have a country, and, you know, we won't have a world with things like climate change. Like, we have existential crises that the Biden administration needs to address. And I was glad to see that they seem at least willing to acknowledge this, and that Biden kicked off the day by reversing a whole bunch of Trump executive orders and putting his new executive orders in. Like, that's just a relief. There's something, just, it's a profound relief to see that, to see it in paper. Like, it's not a promise, it's not a hope, it's a document and it's a law. And so that is very encouraging. You know, that maybe will make me finally sleep a little more soundly at night.
Yeah, me as well. And because I had asked the other day, is it possible just to do like one blanket executive order? Just go, hey, we're gonna repeal the last 4 years.
let's just put
that in the trash heap of history and let's begin anew. I was told no, there's not one of those. But today was a good start to getting to that place.
Yeah, it was nice for me to be able to tell my kids what the president did today, and for them to be able to watch the president on TV and not have him be like a, you know, shrieking vortex of hatred, cruelty, and lies. Like, all of that is nice. You know, my kids have never seen a functional American government. My youngest doesn't remember Obama. My oldest sort of remembers, but really, you know, grew up with Trump and was very keenly aware of that, because I received death threats for the entirety of the last 4 years. I don't necessarily expect that to stop, but, you know, hopefully it'll slow down a little. So they know this, you know, they know the toll I've paid. And so they're just like, you know, not big fans of the government. And, you know, and I was explaining, this really is different. And this is more like what previous administrations were. Like, Trump was a culmination. He wasn't a fluke. This is what it all built up to. But we have never had anything that bad, that anti-American, that authoritarian, that overtly criminal, that much tied to hostile foreign states. Like, a lot of things he did were new. And he is a sociopath and a narcissist and all these things. I was like, Biden's just not going to do those things about Trump that were so awful, you know, the incredibly cruel, blatant racism, the way that, you know, just so many things. So that's encouraging. And maybe, you know, my cynical teenage daughter will be a little less like me and a little more positive about life. We'll see.
Well, we'll see. I mean, and by doing a good job, by doing the right things, maybe we encourage people to trust government again. Because look, we've had, you know, 40 years of government's the problem, and the nine words from Ronald Reagan. The worst thing you can ever hear is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And they go and they show us that every time they're in power. I had someone the other day tell me that Trump is the new Reagan, and I'm going, wow, not even I would make that argument, because he's so much worse than Reagan, and I thought Reagan was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, and for a lot of us, like, I don't remember before Reagan was like the you know, the standard. And I grew up thinking things like unions were stuff that like my grandparents were in and they just don't need to exist anymore. And, you know, this was the message told to an entire generation over and over through the media, through politicians, you know, through the Clinton administration, which moved to the right to match the move to the right by the Republican Party under Reagan. And then just kept moving and moving until it just exploded. And, you know, we're now at a point where, you know, progressives are more vocal. They need to keep putting pressure on leadership. There are so many policies that are just basic common sense and fiscal common sense, like the Green New Deal, like universal healthcare. You know, those help Americans and they provide jobs. And it's just, it's so basic. They help ward off corruption. They help ward off dependence on dictatorships, on gas station dictatorships like Saudi Arabia or Russia. That's all good. You know, those shouldn't be thought of as like radical, silly policies. Like that's the kind of policies we need. So I'm hoping Biden, you know, doesn't worry about like what the press says and doesn't worry definitely about what the Republicans say. Like who cares? Like who cares what Mitch McConnell thinks of any of these plans? And just tries to do the right thing for Americans. And I think he definitely understands how much we're hurting. He understands how much people are traumatized. And I think, you know, Biden's gone through a lot on a personal level. And of course, again, I don't wish that on anyone, but I do think it's lent him an understanding of grief and the need to not abandon people in their time of need. And I just hope that that plays out in action and he's not convinced by a bunch of like shady advisors to let people down. Cause I think that, I don't think Americans can take any more of it.
No,
and
I agree. They just can't. And for me, if he does those things, that's how you, by those actions, that's how you unite the country, not with words, but by those kind of actions. So last question, I got about a minute left. You know, what's your hope for the next 4 years out of this administration? Positive? Where do you find yourself?
It's like digging out of a hellhole. I mean, that's it. It's going to be rough. It's going to be difficult. I want an attack on corruption and elite criminal impunity. If you handle those two things, you can get a lot done. And then also climate change, because we don't have time. We've never had time. So that needs to be a priority. And also just one last thing is everybody needs to fight very hard for the Democrats in 2022. Even if you don't like the Democrats, we need to prevent this Republican monstrosity from coming back, because they're just going to do the exact same thing and it's going to make the Trump administration, you know, seem like a prelude. So let's all try to avoid that.
I'm right there with you, Sarah. It's been a great 4 years. I hope you'll continue to come back and share time with us. It's been a great having you on. You're the ray of sanity and hope, and I appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you. All right. Talk to you later.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, our good friend Sarah Kendzior. Seriously, it's been a bad period, but by having, you know, reality, truth, things like that being told, made it a little bit better. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith.